This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Why don't all these people love Dave Rothenberg?
I'm a man of the people.
I want Sean McDonough to love you. I want Mess to love you. So I got to tell them the story.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
And you think the stories are endearing? Because I find that you probably tell them in an embarrassing fashion.
I did not. You're not a former athlete. I'm not going to bring up that you smashed a kid in the face with a tennis racket at 8 years old.
I'm surprised you didn't bring that up.
Or that you love boating.
I'm a boater.
Or that you think you can sing.
Good times! That could be worse than the other one.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Open your head above water.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Later this hour, Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. Do not ask me to ever sing again, by the way. I am not singing on this show.
You have to. You will.
I will not do it.
No, you have to. You will.
No. It's terrible.
Could we take a second to just realize what I did there in that segment, though? How I perfectly set up each one of those drops.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, you're rubbing off on me. That's pro's pro right there.
Really? You're proud of yourself for that?
Well, I left a little time in between so they could put the drops in.
Uh-huh.
Whew. No sleep. Came to work. Showed up. Making magic happen is what I'm
Look
doing.
At you. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Speaking of making magic happen, last we left you, Raymond Santiago was hanging up very quickly on Dino in the Bronx. Now, Dino has called back. Before we bring Dino on, Ray, can you let the guy get his point before you
listen? He's going to stay there as long as you want him to. I will not hang up at all. Whatever he says.
If it's radio
silence for 5 minutes, he's all yours.
Don't turn into me.
No, that's at 6:45, Santiago. We'll have radio silence at 6:45.
You know what? I won't do Stump Rothenberg. We won't do it.
As Dave tries to think about what the answer to the questions and stuff.
We won't do it. That I don't have to do that segment. I do it for you. I do it for you and for the people. Now, Raymond, when I say, all right, thanks so much, Dino, for the call. Bye-bye.
No, he'll stay there.
No.
He's being petulant. He's all yours for the next two hours.
No, Rick, come on. You've got
an hour and 55 minutes left of showtime. If Dino wants to be on the line the entire time, he could be there.
I just got a text from Hurls. He said, co-host. Bring Dino on co-host. CeCe Sabathia style.
If he's good and you trust the speakers, Dino stays.
Double DNR. DePietro, Dino, and Rothenberg.
All right, so Santi will bring him on. He'll make his Yankees point. When I say, Dino, thanks for the call, goodbye, you then hang up on him.
Trust the speakers!
All right, let's go. Dino in the Bronx. Dino, I apologize for one Raymond Santiago. Welcome back.
You guys are all good. I guess I'll get to my point really quick. What's the over-under on the Yankees' wins from here on out and to make it to the wild card? Or to stay in the wild card, it's better yet.
Over-under on wins? I mean,
they have 17 games?
We've said this the entire time. I think the Yankees will find a way to get themselves one of the wild card spots. I just feel like they're too talented, man.
No, I think we both agree that they're going to be, at the end of the day, they're going to get one of the two wild card spots.
You got the Indians coming up. First of all, you got to sweep. You got to take care of your business against the Orioles.
You have to. All right, now hang on. Dino, thank you for the call. We'll talk to you very soon. Now would be the time, Raymond, that you. He's amazing. Now he's not going to hang up on him. Oh, no, there he did. Big baby.
Orioles two more. You got the Indians for three. You got the Rangers for three.
Hang on a second. You got to win these next two.
You got to win two.
Then you got to go 2-1 against both Cleveland and Texas at a minimum.
So there's four more.
Which would give you a, 7-2, 9-game stretch.
Correct.
And then it's hard. You're at Boston. You're at Toronto. And then you finish up home against the Rays, which will not be easy, even though they'll be playing for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this is all of a sudden now you're, I mean, once you get through the Indians and the Rangers, now you're in one.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's serious baseball. Now that's postseason baseball is what that is.
Absolutely. But, you know, we keep having this conversation, and I can't help but go back to it of, well, I just want Cole for that wild card game. You might have lost that. You might have put yourself in such hot water that if Cole is due up on that
final day of the season and you need to win that game, or the Saturday and you need to win the game, you might have no choice. You might have to pitch him and not have him for that wild card game.
Yeah, but again, in typical Yankees fashion, you go 13-0, then you go on your slide where you're terrible, and now all of a sudden it looks like you're starting to come out of it. And how long can you ride this hot streak?
Hot streak? You beat Minnesota and you beat Baltimore.
No, I know, but all you can do is stack wins. Right? So is this the start? They're bad teams. I don't care. I mean, they all get paid. Is this the start of one of the Yankees' hot streaks, and how long can they carry it? Can they carry it through Boston and Toronto to make sure that Tampa series, they can save Cole for the wild card game?
That has to be the goal right now. Not getting in where you set yourself up where Garrett Cole can pitch in that wild card game.
Yeah, and maybe during the course of, you know, this last two games of the Orioles series, and then the three against the Indians, and then the three against the Rangers, have more of the games that you saw last night, where you don't have to play in these close games, high leverage innings, where you're exhausting your bullpen. Because we said this before the season, man, coming off a 60-game schedule, you're going to be hard-pressed to get all these innings pitched because of, I mean, guys are going to wear down, especially when you have Kluber and Tyone who haven't pitched, Herman who hasn't pitched. You're going to wear your bullpen out. Now Britton's gone for the season. Like, you can tell, like, Chad Green is gassed. Like, the bullpen is gassed. So the more you can protect them moving forward, the better.
At this moment, and this is Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. At this moment, is there a guy that the Yankees bring into the game from the pen that you say, all right, you know what? Whew, I feel good about him.
I definitely don't feel good about Sal Romano, I can tell you that.
No. He's Sal Romano!
No, you need Loaisiga back. I mean, Loaisiga was that guy. That was the guy you looked at and said, okay, he can be anywhere. Like, he's our weapon. Wherever we need him, we can use him. Highest leverage situation, we can bring in Loaisiga.
That's right. But who, if Chapman, you don't feel that way with Chapman right now?
No.
You don't feel that way with Green right now?
You like Wandy. You like Peralta.
You like him, but I don't think you look at him and say, you know, no worries at all.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, I mean, is this... You're not wrong, but I mean, again, part of that is because this bullpen is worn out. They are. I mean, it's been too much for them.
Well, they've had a lot of games where they've had to get, you know, 15, 17 outs.
Well, yeah, which is too much.
And that's why tonight you need what you need again is what you saw last night, where you get six innings of two-run ball from Cortez, and you have a 7-2 lead because you've hammered Means, and although he's a good pitcher. And you've gotten to their bullpen, and it's another game where you know you're going to win, and you coast home.
It's exactly what you need, and you got to keep stacking these wins, and you have to find a way to win the next two against Baltimore.
What do you think they're going to need to get to? So they have 17 games left. Realistically, how many wins in those 17 games do you think the Yankees need?
They got 17 left. Who? I would say...
I think you got to go at least 11-6.
Yeah, what do they have right now? How many wins do they have right now?
I think 81.
81, you want to get somewhere. Yeah, you're probably right around that. Probably right around that.
Right? You got to get to 92 wins?
Well, I got to imagine, though, too. I mean, if you want them to achieve what you've been talking about, where that Rays series doesn't necessarily matter, is you got to win these games now. Like, take those last three out of it. Like, how many? So, you got like 17 left. So, take those last three out. How many in the next 14 do they have to win?
So, in the next 14?
To make sure that series doesn't matter necessarily.
10-4?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right? But can they go?
Doable.
You got to go to Boston, to Toronto. And it's not like Cleveland is a pushover. Their pitching is decent. And Texas can hit the ball. So, and the Yankees have shown you they can lose to anybody.
Yeah, exactly right. And they've also shown you they can beat anybody when they get hot. And they hit.
They can.
Well, no, I know they can. And that's, I mean, listen, if they can't find a way against Baltimore for two, Cleveland, and Texas to put themselves in a spot where going into Boston, into Toronto, where they don't have to start sweeping these series to get themselves in the wild card. They don't deserve to be in the postseason.
Absolutely not. But listen, you won last night. You have eight more. You got to go 6-2. You got to go, right? Including last night's game, 7-2. That's what you need. Anything less than 7-2, I don't think flies for the Yankees right now.
No, I mean, because again, I mean, this Yankees fans are not going to be just happy with, oh, hey, you know, we got into the wild card game and we lost because we didn't have Gerrit Cole. They're not going to be happy. They don't want to hear those excuses.
No, nobody wants to hear it. So DPHO Rothenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance, and I brought up the worst possible scenario. Well, I guess not making it would be the worst possible scenario, but I brought up what I think is to make it the potential worst possible scenario, and then Santiago played like the way back music. Did you hear that yesterday?
I liked it, yeah. That was the dream sequence. It's the dream sequence.
Why would he play this? Like, let's reflect back when this is something coming up in the next couple weeks.
I'm not 100% sure. I just think in the moment he just felt like that was the way to go. I don't know if we have anything. I think that was his only option, maybe.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe we should get something for like prognostication, looking towards the future.
Like a crystal ball sound or something like that?
We can make a Rick Stradamus type of thing because Rick likes to predict the future. That can be a thing.
I do. Like Doug Peterson getting fired. That was nice.
It was well done.
That was a real nice one.
Or the
Raiders covering.
Yeah.
Or the AFC being
loaded. Oh, that was me, right. So let me tell you what my concern is. God forbid the Yankees, and this is realistic, there's three teams battling for two spots. How about if the Yankees are the second wild card but tied? And now they have to play a game on the Monday, and then the Tuesday, and then the Friday.
Well, now you're in one. I mean, your pitching's already thin. Now, all of a sudden, yeah. I mean, you don't love your chances to make a run in that situation, no. Just hope like hell, I mean, Tyone comes back, or, you know, sexy Nestor Cortez with that beautiful mustache can come through for you.
So, if Tyone comes back... Who is your second starter if you were to make it to a 5-game series?
I think it'd have to be Tyone, wouldn't it?
Oh God! So I'm going Tyone game one.
Yeah, and Tyone then game one, Cortez game two, probably no.
Oof. Well, maybe Kluber. I don't love that.
You got Kluber too.
I don't love that.
No, of course you don't love that. I mean, yeah, the guy you love is Gerrit Cole.
That's right.
The guy you want pitching whatever game it is Gerrit Cole.
That's right.
I'll be interested to see what happens with Gerrit Cole over the next couple starts because I mean his. Like, he's right there. I mean, as far as AL Cy Young. I mean, when you look at his numbers compared to Ray's number, I mean, they're almost identical numbers. I wonder, I mean, he's a Yankee. We all get that. Yankees fans will always complain about that. But I wonder if the voters will hold against him the whole sticky stuff situation.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Cousin Lonnie, one of our great listeners and tweeters and callers, says, sheesh, 27 live reads for Dave. Dave, I see how and why you make some mistakes during the reads. I feel for you. Rico might want to take some of those off of Cousin Dave's hands. That'd be nice.
I've told you. I'm more than happy to do it.
All right. I'm going to send some over to you.
As soon as I get my free breakfast.
You have to tell me what you want.
Well, I think you know what I want.
How would I know what you want?
You want to let this ride? How about we do that? You want to let it ride?
I will do whatever you want to do.
I want the action. Let's let it ride.
You know what's unfortunate for me is I will pay the debt and I will send you the breakfast. But I had no recollection of this and I was watching the game not even realizing this was on the line. Had I rooted differently, I might have felt the way about it. But that's fine. So you tell me.
I actually liked it too. It invigorated me. Throwing that Monday night game on, going back and forth.
I think you should start seriously gambling. Like really
no,
making it exciting for yourself.
I can't. You know how many phone calls I would have to make? How many people I would have to consult with before making these picks? I was really gambling.
No. So RJ and Ray, listen to this, right? So we, on Friday morning, went through all the games, right? RJ, you remember that?
I do.
Okay, and we're challenging the K-Show with a little show-to-show battle. Did we not, at the end of the show, define what games we're going to take and in each order of where we would take them? It was done, right?
Was there an order? There were four games.
And I gave him an order.
Yeah, there was an order.
And they all stunk.
I picked the best one of the four.
Oh, fine. But
I'm sitting here looking at him. Look, I'll show you on Zoom. I have them written down.
But that's not the point. The point is, it was done. It was decided upon, and we were finished. I get a call early afternoon. What are we taking? I said, what? What do you want to go with here against the K-Show? I said, didn't we do this? Well, now I'm not sure.
Well, new information. The reason I called you is new information. All of a sudden, the left tackle for Mini's out. That changes things. I mean, you had Green Bay power ranked ahead of Washington.
There was not one game that I liked that won.
The game I'm aggravated that we didn't take that I liked was Pitt plus the 6.5.
You did like that, but come on, don't be this Monday morning quarterback.
No, I'm not. Listen, the pick we went
you
with,
liked
I liked.
Green Bay. You liked New England. You liked Washington. Like, we did. It's fine. It was week one. We did not have a
no,
good
No, I went
one.
With the pick. Listen, I'm not going to lie. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The pick we made, which was way better than the K-Show pick, their pick was disgusting. It was horrendous. They should lose a point for making that pick. It was that bad. I mean, that Taylor Heinicke is fine, but, I mean, Fitz having his hip pop out early in that game completely screwed us. Completely screwed us. And all of a sudden they can't stop Keenan Allen and Williams. Well,
and then Alfred Morris fumbles. Antonio Gibson fumbles on his own 4-yard line.
Yeah, it's just, this is why I don't gamble. Because I would break TVs. Like, I can't take it. That drives me crazy.
I think it'd be good for you, though. I think it would loosen you up, and I think it would make life much more exciting.
I was screaming at the television in the hotel where I had tiny little double beds for some reason. Screaming for a free breakfast, for a bagel and some cream cheese. I was yelling at the television.
So imagine you had real action on it?
Oh, no.
It'd be invigorating.
I can't do it.
It'd be like ice water through your veins. It'd be phenomenal. I got to talk to Cassie. I'm going to get her to open up an account. I have a guy for you.
Oh, how jealous am I, too, by the way? I get a phone call from Hainsey the other day, and he's like, oh, yeah, I just moved down to Florida, yada, yada, yada. I got this golf course. Oh, and by the way, he just throws this one in. I actually played golf with Michael Jordan the other day. I was like, excuse me?
Really?
Like Michael B. Jordan? He's like, no, Michael Jordan. Yeah, play with
him. Michael Jordan.
The Michael
Jordan. You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
He's telling me Jordan stories there.
Did they gamble on like the holes and stuff?
No, of course they did.
Of course they did, because Jordan is, he likes to gamble.
He's hilarious, though, but it's not even like winning the money. He could care less about the money. Like, Hainsey said he'll play you for whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter, but it's just like just beating you with something. Like,
it's,
I guess, one of the guys
that
Hainsey played with, he's close friends with, is tight with Jordan. They play a lot, and I guess Jordan just trash talks him the entire time. Like, he'll lose, and the guy will go to pay him, and he's like, I don't want your money. You need it more than I do. No one even knows who you are. It just completely destroys the
He can't
guy.
Turn it off. That's just his mentality.
Actually, Hainsey said but he's nicer to former athletes. It's like the people that come down and challenge him, because he opened up his own golf course down there. They come to challenge him because they know, he's ready for that action. He just, it's a different level, he said. Like, he wants to rip your heart out.
I'm sure he does.
And take your soul. And he said these guys, because they're not used to it. He does this every single day. These guys that are playing against him, he's like, you should see these guys tighten up. Between the money and Jordan trash talking them while they're trying to make a putt, he's like, it's hilarious. So needless to say, Hainsey out hanging out with Jordan. Great.
Yeah, but if he has that relationship, at some point you can go down there and you can do the same.
Yeah, but I would fold like a cheap tenth under that pressure.
I don't think you would.
No, I would.
Oh, come on. Oh. You're a world-class athlete. You're a winner.
Yeah, but it's golf, though. That's different, man.
But you're a good golfer.
Yeah, I know.
You're probably a better golfer than Jordan.
No, he can putt, man.
Really?
Jordan. But it's different, though, Dave. It's like you play in these, like for example, right? Like, I got a couple buddies playing in club championships right now. So it's like a 5.5-hour round. They're like, one guy's like probably, I don't know, a 6 or 7 handicap. He shoots a 90. Because it's everything you got to play, everything in the hole, you're nervous. Like, your handicap goes up. Could you imagine, sitting on the 17th green with a putt that's worth $10,000 or something? No. You're yanking that thing for sure.
Yeah, I still have confidence in you. All right, I did a little pre-approval. The read is accurate. The WWE makes it highly anticipated debut at the brand new UBS Arena at Belmont Park with Monday Night Raw on November 29th. See the 6-man tag team main event with the United States champion Damian Priest, Raw tag team champions Randy Orton and Riddle versus WWE champion Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. Tickets available at noon this Friday at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win a pair of tickets right now by being the first caller, 888-987-ESPN. That's 888-987-3776, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. So we touched on it briefly. I want to get back to it quickly. Garrett Cole right now. If you had a vote for Cy Young Award in the American League, are you going Cole, are you going Ray, or are you going outside of those two?
I think it's those two in the American League. I think it has to be those two. I mean, it's crazy though, Dave. I mean, seriously, when you look at the numbers, it's almost identical numbers. Rays pitch more. I mean, it's right there. My fear would be two things: is that he's, you know, a Yankees fan, the Yankees buy it. Like, is that
anti-Yankees, right?
Anti-Yankees,
right?
And then it's the, you know, he was the face of the sticky stuff, right? And then coming out of that is when he struggled.
Yeah,
and he's turned it around,
though.
Well, he kind of admitted it. Come on. He admitted it without saying it.
Oh yeah, when he hemmed and hawed, absolutely.
So I wouldn't be surprised, just knowing how people, like the voters, vote if they held that against them.
So Robbie Ray on Toronto this year, 11-5 with a 2.69 ERA, 28 games started, 170 innings pitched, and 220 strikeouts. So he really is having a phenomenal season. Garrett Cole on the flip side for the Yankees, 15-7, I believe his 15 wins lead the American League right now. Two complete games, one shutout, throwing 163 innings, 224 strikeouts. So they're four strikeouts difference, and an ERA of 2.75. So they couldn't be more identical. How about this, though? And this is a weird thing to say. Is it fair to say that with the starting staffs these teams have, there's more pressure on Cole every fifth day to put a great start out there than there is on Robbie Ray?
And with that offense, too? I mean,
with that offense, and look at those other pitchers. I mean, Ryu is really good, and Barrios is sensational, and Mattis had a good year.
And Manoa. Yeah,
and
no,
Manoa is a phenom. So, I mean, you tell me.
No, listen, either one. I just think when you look at Garrett Cole's season, and then with the sticky stuff controversy and everything else, I mean, it's almost like he's a victim of his own greatness. It's like you expect it from Garrett Cole, but Ray is having like a really special season. Like, I don't know if the narrative of Ray having this kind of special season doesn't play into the voting. You know what I mean?
Like, this is a one-time deal that he could potentially win the Cy Young Award?
Yeah, like he's just having one of these amazing seasons, and he deserves to win the award because of it.
So if you had a vote, where would you go? And I'm bringing up Lance Lynn's numbers, by the way, who was just on the IL. 10-4, 2.5 ERA, 161 strikeouts. And what else do we need to know for him? I don't know. I mean, pretty good numbers.
Let me ask you this question. And I know with analytics and everyone nerding out and everything else. MVP, you look at the numbers, all that stuff. Which guy usually wins the MVP? The guy that leads.
The guy on the better team.
Well, better team, but with the guy that leads the league in what? Well, that's not always the case because Trout's on terrible teams and he wins the MVP.
Right.
So what's the stat? What's the one number? It's not BABIP and all that other garbage. Like, what's the one
war?
Number? Yeah, it's war usually.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the lazy way to do it is, oh, who's got the best war? Right now, Ray has the better war. So I would probably say that if both pitch well down the stretch here and Toronto ends up in one of the wild cards, I would probably say that I would imagine he ends up winning it.
Which is fair. And listen, if you give Robbie Ray the American League Cy Young Award, I don't think he's done anything terrible. He's a great pitcher. He's had a great season.
Yeah, he's had an amazing season.
Right?
And I'm telling you, I would almost guarantee that whole sticky stuff controversy plays into people and how they vote. Because they can't help it. They can't take emotion out of it.
And I do think there's, even if they don't admit it, some kind of an anti-Yankees bias as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, didn't you see that with Jeter? Remember those stupid polls that would come out? As voted on by
the
players.
Most overrated player in baseball.
Most overrated player. It was always, yep. Like, Jeter was always on that list. And it's like, come on, man. You're voting. You're letting jealousy dictate how you vote right now.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't think there's many places better to watch a show than the theater at Jones Beach.
Amazing venue.
How great is that?
Amazing venue. Saw my girl Kelly Clarkson at Jones Beach.
Really? Did you weep?
She killed it, too. She killed it.
Did you cry, honestly?
There may have been a moment I teared up, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, was this pre-car ride weeping or
yes.
Post?
Yeah. No, this is pre. This is. I just think that was like the perfect storm for me.
Right, like the stars aligned and it hit you and you're in traffic and you lost your composure and you heard the song and maybe something was happening at home and you had these thoughts and it overwhelmed you.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
no, don't do that to him. It could happen right now.
Too far from the sidewalk. Yeah, I was just it was something hit me in that moment. Maybe it was like the, you know, sitting on the Cross Bronx for like 2 hours trying to pee in a bottle, and then that came on and it was just
no, Kelly Clarkson.
Everyone needs a good cry, man. I mean, sometimes you just need a good cry. Get it out.
Well, you got it out that day on the Cross Bronx.
Oh, I did.
I still stand by the guy next to you in the car must have been looking over like, honey, lock the doors. Why? The man in the car next to us is weeping.
Yeah, what's scary about that, though, if I was crazy, he wasn't going anywhere. It was right. Bumper to bumper.
Right. He's locked in now. But you can't make eye contact with the crazies. He probably told his wife, whatever you do, don't look left. There's a crazy man next to us weeping in his car.
Yeah, but you know that doesn't work, of course. Like, you tell your wife that. If someone tells me, don't look, you're going to look.
Crazy.
Don't look at this. It's like if someone snaps their ankle, like that Jerry Judy play. I said to Kat, like, I said to my father, I was like, oh, man. I was like, don't watch that. You don't want to watch that. But of course, he's like, you go rewind that. I got to watch it.
Yeah, see, that stuff doesn't bother me.
That's the worst for me. I can't, like, that stuff, like,
what, a bad ankle, injury bothers you?
Oh.
No, that doesn't bother me. But a man weeping in the car next to me, that would certainly throw me for a loop.
Who was it? Was it Napoleon Kaufman running down the sideline and his leg snapped in half?
The little running back. There was one on Monday Night Football, Napoleon McCallum.
It was the Raiders. That's who it was. Yeah,
I think that's the Raiders. I think it was the running back that went to Navy, and then didn't the Niners? They had to like drag him out of the pile. Remember?
Oh, the one I'm thinking about where I almost vomited was when he was running down the sideline and his leg just snapped right in half.
I don't remember running down the sideline. I remember the guy that had to be dragged out of the pile. The one with the kid from Louisville was bad too.
Well, how about the one where the basketball player's eye popped out?
Oh my God, that was terrible. I don't get freaked out by much. That was in the Big East tournament. I think it was Alan Ray of Villanova. That was
disgusting.
Freakish. Yeah. His eye popped out of his
head. Out of his head, his eye popped.
Yes. Out of his head, his eye popped. All right. Speaking of craziness and eyes popping out of the head, you want to hear what Don... Did you hear Don go crazy yesterday?
No, I didn't. No, I did not hear Don go crazy.
Oh, you're in for a treat right now. Here we go. Don LaGreca on the Mets. And what he says is accurate, too. He's tired of the Mets being treated like the little runt of the litter.
This team's been frustrating all year, and I just don't believe, because I just don't think they're very good. They're a game under 500 in the worst division in baseball. But for some reason, the media in this town and the Met fan is so embracing the second team in town, little engine that could mentality, that any little scraps we get thrown like the runt of the litter, we're supposed to get excited about. It's unbelievable. You're held to a completely different standard than you are with every other team in baseball. This was supposed to be the year where things are going to be different, but this whole idea of I've got to get excited because they took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, as if it's going to end up meaning anything at the end of the day.
I've told you for weeks, that wasn't as crazy as you would hope with Don, but he gets a little frustrated. We have another one to play of him. I've told you for weeks the Mets
are
done.
You oversold that one. That wasn't a classic Don rant at all.
Well, I was told it was a phenomenal rant. It was impassioned. Let's hear the next one. Let's hear the next one. We treat the Mets like a puppy.
I feel like they're like a pooch, right? Like, good boy, you beat the Yankees, good boy, go get him, go get him, go get him. No, I want to be held to the same standard as every other sports team in New York. Win games, take advantage of the talent that you have. There's no reason for this team to struggle offensively the way they've struggled all year. You are a game under 500. You're not making the playoffs. And the only reason that we're even having a conversation is because the Phillies and the Braves can't get out of their own way.
Well, now they're 2 games under 500. That was a little better, a little more impassioned. You could feel the
still,
blood
like,
boiling.
He's like a pooch. I don't know. I wasn't.
Good boy, you beat the Yankees. Good boy.
Come on.
I mean, that
funny.
Was the best part. I mean, that was the best part. But I mean, but it's different though. I understand what he's saying, but it's not. I mean, the expectations for the Mets were not the same as the expectations for the New York Yankees.
And you're right. But stop
it. Even close.
But stop it. The Mets should not be 2 games under 500 in this god awful division.
You didn't know going into the season that this division would be as bad as it is.
But it is.
I have no idea.
The best player in the division out for the year in Acuña, right? The Marlins.
The best player in the division is Jacob DeGrom.
All right. Well, and he's missed a lot of the year as well. But there's no reason that the Mets should be 2 games under 500 right now. None. Look at the losses they've had this year.
I don't disagree with you. But when you start talking about, I want to be held to the same standard as every other team in New York, is a different standard. There wasn't one person that came on the air. I mean, it was mixed. It was Atlanta could win the division. You know, if things fall right for the Mets, you know, they could be a wild card team. Or no, they're not even a wild card team. They would have to, the thought was they'd have to win the division because the wild card is coming out, is going to come out of the West. Right? Both, like, they have to find a way to win this division.
Right. And you know what? But San Diego's completely fallen apart.
That's a disappointment. What's happening in San Diego?
But the Mets, stop it. The Mets are a tremendous disappointment.
No, listen, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not disappointed. But, I mean, it's, the Mets have been offensively, I mean, they've been
and you didn't expect that.
No,
you didn't expect Lindor, Conforto, Dom Smith to all stink this year offensively.
I mean, you name it. I mean, you name it. I mean, Pete Alonso going into last night. I mean, he snaps his bat over his knee. He was in the middle of an 0-for-20. Conforto's been bad.
McNeil's
been bad.
Dom Smith has been bad. Dom Smith was a great hitter last year. Now, I know it was a small sample size, but he was excellent.
Well, the Mets went into the season thinking it was going to be a DH.
And Jeff McNeil has not been good.
He's been bad. J.D. Davis, bad. I mean, you name it. They've been bad. But again, this was not a year that a lot of people expected this team to make a run to the World Series, as opposed to the Yankees, where every single baseball expert we talked to said they were the best team in the American League, and they'll be representing the league in the World Series.
I'm not saying that the Mets, at least the Yankees are, what are they, 81-64?
Yeah,
right?
Which was the expectation.
But the Yankees but the expectation was not that the Mets would be below 500 now.
No. But you, no one could have expected that. You didn't expect Jacob DeGrom to get hurt. I mean, there's no sign of Syndergaard. I mean, and offensively, they've been horrendous.
Did you think when you
traded for Lindor and signed him for $341 million, he would have that first half that he had offensively?
No. And listen, the guy's hitting .220.
And he's been better of late.
Right. He's raised his average to where it is. But he's had a dreadful. I mean, if the Mets offense had been decent this year, they would be running away with this division
the
right
Mets,
now.
The Mets, listen to me. Met fan to Met fan. The Mets have way more problems than just what you're seeing on the field right now. Way bigger problems than what's happening on the field right now.
Yeah, there's institutional disaster going on right now.
No. Let's go back. Give me the, Santi, give me the Dave's
the
favorite.
The Wayback Music.
The Wayback Music, please. Yeah.
You better make this good because you're asking for
this. Oh, this is
going
to be good because I'm going to go back in time too. Let's go back to when we had my favorite guest, Buster Olney, on the show. And this kind of got buried because I wasn't on the show yesterday to really dive deep into it, because I'm far more equipped to dive than Carlin is. Like, I'm much, you know, sleeker going into the water. The fact that he said that this Mets team with new ownership and Steve Cohen is more dysfunctional than it was with the Wilpons. I mean, sound the alarm bells if that's the case. And
well,
you
I don't think
why
Buster made that
stinks.
Up on the spot. I'm sure that he's hearing that all over the place.
Of course he's hearing that from everyone. I mean, listen, he was the first one that mentioned that something was going on with DeGrom.
I mean, you know, they are, without a doubt, the most dysfunctional organization in baseball.
That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, I know.
That is what we're dealing with. It starts up top. That was supposed to change. In order for this team to get where it was supposed to get, that would have to change.
But I don't understand how it didn't. And look what they've done since you moved on from the Wilpons. You have a GM who's a pervert, right?
Yep.
Now you have a GM who gets a DUI.
Check. Yep.
The manager seems overwhelmed every single day.
Every single time.
This was supposed to be the owner with these just ridiculous tweets coming at me all the time. This was supposed to be different. And you know what? It's not. It's the same thing.
I mean, listen, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too. I just want to win, and whatever it takes to win, I'm happy doing. But I mean, come on, man! Like Baez's huge home run last night, you're chanting his name. Come on,
that's what fans do.
We're lemmings, we're sheep.
But that's what a fan is when your guys are great. They can literally give you the middle finger and say you're a jerk. Shut up.
They gave you the thumbs down was them.
That was the middle finger.
Up. the middle
and,
fingers.
And you hated them, and now he hits a big home run, and you love him. Yeah, that, but that's what a fan is. A fan is a lemming. DPHR Rothenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. I know you're trying to make these long-winded points now. You're trying to bite into my Stump Rothenberg time, right?
No, I'm not trying to make long-winded points. I'm trying to make good, concise points. I can't wait. I would do three segments of Stump Rothenberg.
Three segments? That would be a lot. But why don't we start out with one segment of Stump Rothenberg?
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. All right. I do like that open. I want to be a college professor. I still think I'd be very, very good. Let's bring in the man that always starts.
You'd be fired in a month.
No, I'd be great. I'd get tenure immediately. They would pre-tenure me. Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Co-eds a weekend.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Drive Time. We are one day away from the Battle of the Bergs. Rothenberg, Rosenberg. Giants. Washington football team.
I love the hesitation. David, Giants and the Washington football team.
David, my question is about that Washington football team. Can you tell me what quarterback has the most passing touchdowns in the history of the Washington organization?
Andy, while he thinks and there's dead air, can I ask you, how's our new studio coming?
Studio is in the works.
I'm not joking, by the way. I am not joking.
Stop it. It's not gonna happen.
You can make up to it up to me for all your awful greens at your golf course. But
so my thought. Can we please not stop focusing on you? I'm thinking. I have three guys that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking. I can't be ripping because I don't think he was there long enough. I'm thinking Theismann because he was there for a long time. I'm thinking Sammy Baugh, who also doubled as their punter, and Sonny Jurgensen are the three that I believe are probably there. Rick, you'll probably be of no help to me.
You're a big Jurgensen guy.
Yeah, very cute. and because you made that knock on me and Sonny, I will go with a man who had a dual role, the Shohei Ohtani of his era, slinging Sammy Ball.
Dave, you're unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And there you have it.
It's amazing how the just the tongue bath Andy gives you every time he calls.
Well, he understands my greatness.
Why don't you know how you'd be even greater? Is if we had a custom new studio.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Funded by Andy for Merrick.
What do you have a studio in your home.
No, I want a studio, me and you, RJ, Santi, home field, TVs, recliners. That's what
really?
I want.
Really? You should get like some big company to sponsor it. They did it on the Dan Patrick Show, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, you're the one with all the connections. Untuck it. I mean, you got all the stuff going on with your podcast.
Let me see. Again, you're trying to rain on my Stump Rothenberg parade.
No, I got
go
a great
to Parker.
Question.
By the way, if you'd like to involve yourself in the segment, 800-919-3776. Parker, before Santi hangs up on you, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Okay. Meryl Streep has the most Oscar nominations for lead performances with 17. Who has the most nominations for supporting performances?
Is this actor or actress?
Either.
And here comes the silence.
Well, I mean, I have to think. What do you just want me just to throw out names without giving it some thought?
Yeah, I want to know. We talked about this yesterday in the meeting. I want the fans want access.
What you want
to know? What's going on in your mind right now?
What's going on? I think it. Oh God, Jack Lemmon. I know one a lot. Walter Brennan. I think won a bunch. But most, Meryl Streep, 17 is a lot.
That's a lot.
Second most? That's the question, right? Second most?
No. Most nominations for supporting performances.
Oh, supporting actress. Yeah, this becomes, I think Katherine Hepburn, but I don't think supporting. Um,
I'd give Chris Carlin's belt a nomination.
Very cute. You just like taking shots, don't you?
I do. I enjoy it.
How about Dustin Hoffman? See, I gotta...
I'm an excellent driver.
That's a terrible Dustin Hoffman impersonation.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Just
trying to loosen the tension a little bit.
I don't think I have the answer to this one. I don't think it's right because I think it's for... I don't think it's for supporting. I'm going to guess Katharine Hepburn.
Incorrect. It's an actress from the 30s and 40s. Thelma Ritter had six nominations for supporting.
Hang off. This is a terrible question.
I mean, how nobody knows that.
Stop,
even the Ritter family was confused by that question.
I'm an excellent driver.
Can I get a question that at least someone would have an idea of what the answer was?
Ask questions that people want to know the answers to.
Do you care? It's a great point you bring up. Do you care at all with that?
No, here's the best part.
You want it to end, and you'd be like, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to take that and move forward in my life with that answer."
Exactly right.
Yep, I get you.
It's like a good joke. Like when my father-in-law tells me a good joke, I want to use your answers to questions on other people.
That's right. That's right. All right. You said you have one, right?
Yeah, specific to the 1986 New York Mets.
Okay.
Who led the New York Mets in 1986 in wins for a pitcher?
All right. So you think Darling, Sid Fernandez, right? You want me to walk through it with you, right?
Yeah, walk through. I like to know how your brain works.
So first, what I like to do is kind of try to walk through who the pitchers were on that team. And then you think Jesse Orozco and Doug Sisk. But it's going to be a starting pitcher. So your starting pitchers are Gooden. And it's not going to be Gooden because that would, I think, just be too easy. Darling, Bob Ojeda. Could be Ojeda. Sid Fernandez. And I think all the guys had double-figure wins. And I believe Rick Aguilera was the fifth starter. It's not Gooden.
You're good.
It's not Gooden because I know Dwight Gooden went 17-6 that year.
Too obvious. You're right. I mean, that's a good process elimination.
I'm between Bob Ojeda and Sid Fernandez. Both lefties, mind you. I'm going to go with Bobby O. Bob Ojeda.
Bobby O, you got it, baby.
See, that's a nice question.
I am too smart.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester. I know we're past the time, but you know what? I mean, it doesn't really matter. Let's go to Mike in Westchester. Mike, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Am I on?
You're on, Mike.
Awesome. You guys are great. First time, long time. Anyway, so I'll even give you three categories here. You can choose Rambo or Die Hard or Cheers.
I'm going to go Die Hard.
You can look it up.
Did I mess up? I'm going to go Die Hard.
All right, Die Hard. Name, and if Die Hard won the first one, some of Hans's henchmen. Give me four of his henchmen that try to take out Mr. McClane.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
So, Hans Gruber, obviously, was the one you're thinking of. All right. So, we had Carl.
Carl. The detonators.
I like this caller. This guy's good. We had... Now, Ellis was the... Theo was the limo driver. Marco.
Right.
We had Eddie. Yep. Eddie.
Who?
I think Eddie.
Yep.
And Eddie. Wasn't there Yuli as well?
Yuli, and who... Let's forget the... Who's the computer
Hang on
guy?
A second. Did I answer the four?
You answered the four.
Thank you.
You're stuck.
Thank you.
Sorry, Hans. Wrong guess.
That was, and I'm not exaggerating, one of my all-time favorite movies. I love
How do you
Die
not
Hard.
Love that movie?
How good is that movie?
It's such a good movie.
Al Powell, great movie.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yep. Bonnie Bedelia, Hans Gruber. I mean, just phenomenal. A phenomenal movie.
There's no surprise that you don't have an emotional bone in your body just because it'd be too much.
What do you mean?
Because you can't. It's impossible.
But why the answer to impossible. That question does it lead you to say you don't have an emotional bone in your body?
Because you didn't just answer the question. You just listed off every name in the movie. And then I was listening last Saturday, and it was like Taekwondo is giving you like rapid fire, like boom, 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 names. And it's just it's not even a problem. Like instantly, right away, answering every single one of them.
We are up against it. RJ, I'm gonna leave this to you. Do we break or do we take Sal from Dutchess?
You got to take Sal.
All right. This is on RJ then. So if you're trusting the speakers, then we will continue. Sal, you are a staple of Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. Here we go. This is a baseball question that happened this year.
All right.
The Dodgers lost, the LA Dodgers lost 11 consecutive extra inning games this year. Who has the record for 12? What team has a record for 12?
Ooh. I was going to say Ron Jeremy there for that first
one. If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. I mean, you think
most consecutive extra inning losses is the question.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be.
I got the.
I think it's the Expos or the Red Sox. Oh, is the Dodgers streak? Well, I guess it doesn't matter. Still currently going on.
To make it easy, you guys, you had both of them.
No. I don't want help.
I'm just telling you.
I'm gonna go with the non-existent, the current Washington Nationals, the former Montreal Expos.
You're right, 100% right.
And there you have it.
I am too smart.
I love how Sal.
I am too smart.
First of all, I just to get this out of the way. You know how much I love Sal. But Sal speaks to you and asks you questions like I quiz my kids. Like, Milo, what is 8 plus 7? And he wants, like, Sal wants you to get it right so badly.
Right. That he wants to baby me along.
Yes,
but I thought I did well with that one. I did well today.
No, I thought you did good, but he couldn't. Like, he wants you to get it so bad that he will, like, whatever it takes. Like, do you want me to give you a hint? How about the year?
Can I give you the year? Is that possible? All right. So there you have it. Another successful edition of Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.